and the business is restoring Walmarts at night. And all of a sudden I said, what you do? He said, we work at Walmart and different places at night, and you'll fix everything. And I talked to him a couple of times. And so I got up there this morning. He was getting ready to go to bed this morning, so I didn't want to miss him this morning. But I saw him this afternoon, and the Lord said, well, I'll tell you what I do. I got a message I preach on personal soul winning. And I use this for an illustration because the Lord spoke my heart a long time ago. Are you going to let that person go to hell? Boy, if you let the Lord speak to you like that, you'll talk to somebody about the Lord. And so I went over there, and he was over there at his truck cleaning it up. And I talked to him just a little bit. And I said, oh, that's just something, sir. And I said, what's your religious background? He said, well, Catholic. And I said, have you ever been saved? He said, no, sir. I said, are you lost? Now, listen, this is how. I said, are you lost? He said, yes, sir. I said, you care if I showed you how to be saved? That'd be good. And I went and I showed him how to get saved. And right there in the middle of the parking lot of the motel, I held his hand. And I said, you repeat after me. And he repeated after me. I said, God save you. He said, he sure did. And I said, now you go, he's from Dallas, Texas. I said, you go back to Dallas, Texas, and you join a good independent Baptist church. And so he's going to give me his name and address tomorrow, and I'm going to give him some material. And I'm glad he got saved. There's people everywhere lost without God. I'm telling you, they're lost without God. Now, boy, we've heard some good preaching today. I mean, tremendous preaching. And I'd just like to say this, that the call to preach is a call to prepare. And if you get saved and God calls you to preach or whatever you're going to do, you ought to have a good education. You ought to know what you're talking about. I got a good college to recommend. It's Macedonia Baptist College. That's ours. And what you'll do, you'll get a good education. We don't charge much, but you'll get a good education. We're accredited. We start out with a Bible diploma all the way through a doctor's degree. And it doesn't cost you an arm and leg. I started in 1991 to help people get an education that couldn't afford to go, or that was working, or that was old. And it just filled a niche. It just filled a place there. And we got between 400 and 500 now online. And so I want you to really pray. My boy died a couple of years ago, and this boy's been tough on us. He was a real help to us. And so it's now me and my wife and my daughter, and we do the online school. So I raise the money, and Francis mails out the books, and my daughter Gwen, she grades the homework. So if you'll make a good grade, just send $100 in with you. No, I don't. But she's a good girl, Gwen. But so it's possible. Somebody asked me the other day, said, what's going to happen when you get too old? I said, well, my son-in-law is an electrical engineer, loves God, one of my deacons, and he's 62. And his son, Luke, went 4 years at Pensacola, and he's a whiz on computers. And then my daughter's already in there grading. So, you know, they could just come in and take it over. But I think probably what we'll do, Scott Caudill, he's my boy Jeremy, is his wife's uncle, is over at Macedonia Baptist College. And I've talked to him a little bit, and we'll probably just move it down there and let Macedonia Baptist Missions take on Macedonia Baptist College. And so I believe that's probably the way that we'll go. So you pray about it. You need to get an education. It just opened doors. Now, I know a lot of people, they know everything. I hear preachers preach, and they preach the same message and change the title. That's all they do. They preach the same message every time, just change the title. But we'll give you something, make you think a little bit. That's right. Make you think just a little bit. And so I hope that you'll look up MacedoniaBaptistCollege.org. And let me ask you a question. You know the Bible said, John, in my Father's house are many mansions. I had a lady in my church came up to me about 6 months ago and said, preacher, why are we going to have a mansion when we get to heaven? I said, well, I think it's a reward. And the Lord let me build a message on about mansions. Do you know, he said, in my Father's house is a house of the Lord, right? And Moses built the tabernacle, earthly tabernacle, after the pattern of the heavenly tabernacle. And then David and Solomon came along, and they built the earthly temple after the heavenly temple. Do you know what the earthly temple had, Solomon's temple? They had rooms built on the side of the temple, and that's where the priests and the Levites are, where they live. Some of them are big rooms, some are small rooms, and that says a lot because everybody's not going to get the same reward. You know what I get there? I think I'm going to get a little, maybe 8x8, about all I get. But anyway, you know, it's going to have to work. So you just check on, and if I can help you, let me know. And you can call Frances, my wife. She'll answer the phone there at the college, and she'll give you any information. She'll find out. She loves to talk to people. She loves to talk, number one. She loves to talk to people. And so she'll help you out any way you can, and we'll be glad. And preacher, thank you for letting me come. I'm getting so old, I can't hardly get around anymore. All I can do is just eat. I can eat pretty good. I was thinking about preaching to the lost tonight, but I think I'll wait till tomorrow night. So if you have somebody, you ought to go get them. Go get them. Get in the car and bring them down here. You know what I tell a lot of people to do? I said, go get them and tell them you're going to take them out for supper. And when they get through, said, now since you took my money and ate food, I want you to go to church with me. And I said, bring them to church and sit them down the closest front. Don't bring them and sit them on the back row. Get them up here where I can spit on them. Amen. And I said, if you'll do that, God will save. And we're still seeing people saved, and I thank the Lord for that. Now, if you got your King James Bible, turn into the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Let's all stand in reverence to the King James Bible. And then when I get through there, I'm going to be preaching out of Genesis, chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter 4. And let's begin reading in verse number 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from him. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, you know what God says in the book of Hebrews? There's a rest for the people of God. There's a rest for the people of God. There's more than one rest. You know, there's more than one rest for the people of God. And I'm going to be dealing with that tonight on about resting in God. And I hope it'll be a help to you. I hope it'll be a real help to you. Father, I pray tonight as we come. Lord, I come in trembling. Lord, I come tonight. And Lord, I really want to bring the message you want me to preach. And God, you know I've been resting by this thing today. And Lord, I believe you got me settled in on it. And I pray, Lord, tonight, I've never seen a generation that was so dissatisfied, that was so discontent. And Lord, I realize that a lot of people are saved, have not entered into the rest that God has given to them. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, after we read that, I want you to turn over there in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. And we've been going through the book of Genesis. You may be seated. And we're going through the book of Genesis in chapter number 1. And we see how that God brought creation to a rest. In fact, the Bible said God rested, you know. God rested from his works. Now, if you study the Bible, there's the rest of creation. There is the rest of consummation. When all that the end of the millennial reign and after the great white throne judgment, there'll be the rest of consummation. And there's the rest of conversion. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Boy, I'm telling you, the one thing I knew when I got saved is that, boy, I weren't resting no more. Boy, I was resting. But then there's the rest in consecration. And the Bible teaches it as Canaan rest. Can I help you, brother? You sure? Rewind that. There's a resting. There's a rest in consecration. And that's called the Canaan rest. You know, when you get saved, you come out of Egypt. And then after you come out of Egypt, sometimes we wander in the wilderness till we decide to just sell out to God. And you cross the Jordan River. Well, when they came out of Egypt, guess what God did? He opened up the Red Sea. They walked through on dry ground, and God closed the sea behind them. And never did open it till you back in. Did you hear what I said? He opened it to let them out, but he didn't open it to let them get back in. You say, well, what's that picturing? It's picturing get saved forever, praise God. When God saved you, he sealed the waters behind you. Amen. But then after they got out of that, they went in the wilderness and they still had to cross the Jordan River to get into Canaan land, and they was going to live in houses they'd never built. They was going to, take care of vines and trees that never planted. And that's talking about Canaan rest. But guess what they had to do? They had to go through the Jordan River. Is that right? What did God do with the Jordan River? He opened it up. And they walked through on dry ground the Jordan River. They went down into the Jordan River. They went through the Jordan River. They came back on the other side. You see, you got to die to yourself. Amen. Just like you died to sin when you got saved by the grace of God, there comes a time that you've got to die to yourself and get out of the wilderness. And a lot of God's people are just wandering around. They've been saved by the grace of God. They sat down on a pew and they're not doing anything for the glory of God. I tell you what God wants you to do. God wants you to move on and live in Canaan right now. I used to sing that, living in Canaan right now. I'm glad you can have rest right now. But when we come into the book of Genesis, or of course we see the work of God in creation, and the work of God in creation is a time for the work of God in salvation. 6 days God was creating. Now let me say something. Salvation is instantaneous. I mean, you get saved just like that. But that's not all there is to it. I want to tell you, when God created the heavens and the earth, it's just like that. But then there were 6 days progressing. I'll say 6 days is a progressive work that was being done into perfection. Like God's working on you. God's working on you to make you mature, to make you perfect, to be where God wants you to be. And so that's all over. It's a picture everywhere. In nature, it's a picture. You plant a seed of corn, and there's, there's a blade that comes up, and then there's the ear, and then there's the full corn. Amen? And the same way with people. You don't, listen, you're not born grown. You're born a baby. And you grow into a teenager, and then you grow into adult. See, you get birth to the family of God, but there's a progressive work of God to bring you into Canaan rest, to get you where you ought to be. And so the work of grace is this, that God is working on us into maturity. Now, it's amazing to me when I was reading the book of Genesis on these days of creation, I noticed over and over again, and the evening and the morning, and the evening and the morning, the Bible tells us there that God did creation. Amen. Let me read it to you right quick. The Bible says, God called the light day, verse 5, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. You see how God created? He worked out of darkness into light. God took you out of the darkness of sin, and he brings you into the light. Amen? And you know, God said he brought did that. God works out of darkness into light. But in each day, it was the evening and the morning till you get to the sixth day. And you know what he said the sixth day? Let us make man in our image. That was the whole purpose of the whole 6 days of creation, is to bring man to the place that he was in the image of God. The image of God does not mean that we look like God in our face. God, I know God's not as ugly as some people I've seen. Amen. But when he said, let's make it in our image, God is a Trinity. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And man was created in the image of God. His spirit, soul, and body. Amen. God wants your spirit. God wants your body. God wants your soul. Amen. But God did that. He said, let's make man in our image. But from the first day all the way to the sixth day, each day God said, it's good. I mean, even when it weren't finished, God said, it's good. Yeah, it is God likeness and grace that sees good in the first stage. Why don't you let some of these converts grow just a little bit, amen? I mean, just because they don't walk like you and talk like you, amen? Give them a lot of grace, amen? And God's grace and be godlike is to see good in them when they first get saved. I got an old boy right now. He comes Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He don't miss a service. Brings that King James Bible in there. But if I'd brought him down here this week and brought him in with me and set him with me on the pew beside Terry, instead of Terry in here. You said, why did Brother Simpson bring Carl in here? Carl looks like a hippie. He's got long hair. He's got a ponytail. I mean, he's got no beard. He's ugly. I mean, he's scary to death. You met him in the dark. You know what I see? Old Carl loves that word of God, and Carl never misses service. You know what God, you know what grace does? He sees good in the person when they first get saved. Some of y'all were so hot when you got saved. I feel God showing up. Amen. I'm telling you, God works. You know that little song the children sing? Hey, he's still working on me. Well, I'm telling you, he's still working on you too. Amen. But I want to tell you something. When God works on us in salvation, like I said, it's instantaneous, but it's a progressive work. If you notice in the first 3 days of creation, there was a dividing. In the next 3 days of creation, there was a furnishing. The first day, God separated light from the darkness. The second day, he separated the waters from above, from the waters beneath. And then the third day, he separated land from the sea. But on the last 3 days, 4, 5, and 6, he furnished lights and fish and man. If you get separated, God will supply what you need. Amen. Say, well, God's not blessing me. Well, you're living like the devil after you got saved. You start living right, God will supply your needs. Can I get an amen for the Lutheran? Well, the Lutheran say amen right there, all right? But I'm going to tell you something. God works on us. I can't tell you something. I mean, when I first got saved, I listened to many preachers that led me so wrong. I'm glad I got away from preachers and started looking in the Bible. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. You know where you got to start out? How you say, well, if this salvation is instantaneous, where do you start? You'll never get anything for God until, number one, you get saved by the grace of God. The Bible said in verse 2, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What did it say? The Spirit moved. And then the Bible said in verse 3, and God said, let there be light. Now, boy, this Bible's so correct. I mean, I've been studying it all these years, and I've never found one mistake in it any place. God is a God of order. And the Bible said in creation and in salvation, guess what? Spirit moves first. After Spirit's in the Word. Amen. That's all the way through the Bible. Here in creation, the Spirit moved upon the face of the earth. Then the Bible said God spoke, said, let there be light. When it comes down to worship, how do we slow the work of God? They shall worship him as Spirit and in truth. Is that right? Same order. Same order as creation. It's an order in worship. It's the same order in witnessing to a lost and dying world. How do you witness to somebody like I did today? First of all, carry into your roots and see if you can do it. When you get filled with Spirit, then you can go out and prepare the other part of the world. It's the same process in creation, in worshiping, and witnessing the always first in Spirit, and then the truth. I did all this. I was filled with sin, not sons. You straighten up till not being saved, amen? But I'll tell you something, you'll never rest until you lay your hands on this night. I tell first of all, you know that you're saved. And you can't know it by feeling. You can't know it by experiences. You can't know it by works. You got to gun it God's way. Amen. Now you say, how you know? Well, I know it because in the book. But I'm talking about personal experience. That's what happened to me. You see, I got under Holy Ghost conviction. When I got under Holy Ghost conviction, just like the lost world, no form, no direction. My life was void. Darkness covered the face of the earth. I didn't understand anything about my salvation. But guess what happened? One day I heard the Word of God, and I felt the Spirit of God deal with my heart. And when I felt that, I saw the light. Amen. And I'm glad I got saved, born again, heaven bound with a hammer down, as Brother Mays used to say. Amen. So I want to say, just like the first day. The first day is salvation. But there's more to the creation of the world than the first day. And it's more to your salvation than just getting born again. Now, I'm glad you got saved, but God didn't just save you to sit you in here on a pew and sit there the rest of your life. God created the world, and then he began to work on the world. But God saved you, and guess what he did? He started working on you. He said in verse 6, he said, let there be a firmament. What did God do? He separated the waters that were above from the waters that were beneath. Now, on this second day, there was water in the air, and there was water on the ground. There was raging waters that were covering the sea, and the waters were separated for a purpose. That was to let the dry land appear. Amen. Why did he say, why did he let the dry land appear? He wanted that dry land to appear because over there in Jerusalem, that little hill called Mount Calvary, where Jesus would die on the cross. And if the waters hadn't been separated, that hill would have been under the waters. And God saved, and then God separated. Let me just say something in a matter of preaching. You'll never rest in God until you know you're saved, and then after you're saved, God sanctifies you. Now, I'm not talking about this old mess. I was witness to a man one day coming to the parts house, and I never would take my boss man's time, but if I'd get a little time, I'd witness to people. And I was a pastor in Mount Pisgah Baptist Church in Payton, South Carolina, and it was an afternoon, and there weren't nobody in there but me, and here this man come in. You listen to me? He come in, and the Lord said, got a little bit of time, just witness to him. So before he left, I said, sir, I'm going to ask you a question. I said, are you saved? And this is exactly what he said, saved. He said, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I hadn't seen him in 30 days. I said, what did you say? He said, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, hadn't sinned in 30 days. I said, well, I said, you make God a liar. Because the Bible said, we're without sin, we made God a liar. I'm going to tell you, you may be saved or sanctified, but I tell you, you sinned somewhere. And you know what I did? I'm telling you what's true. I guess I'm mean as the devil. I made up in my mind before that, and I found out he was a Pentecostal preacher. I made up in my mind before he left that parts house, I was going to make him sin. Isn't that wicked? That is absolutely wicked. But I kept arguing with him, quoting it. This is the way you will win. You know how you overcome? You just give him Bible. Just give him Bible. There's none righteous. No, not one. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. If a man said he had no sin, we make God a liar. Listen, I said, sir, I guarantee. And boy, he got mad at me, and he stomped out of that parts house, and I went out the door, and I watched him go across the street in his car. I said, hey, sir. He just stopped. He said, what? I said, come back here. I want to apologize. I said, come back here. I've got something I want to tell you. Walked across the street, come up to the door of the parts house. He said, what do you want? I said, I'm sorry that if you've been saved and sanctified and you had 30 days, I'm sorry that I made you sin. Oh, he got so mad. But I proved it. Hey, there's none righteous. No, not one. Amen. But God does not want us just to live separated, but we're to be separated. We are separated. Hey, because we are separated, we're to live separated. Here's what the Bible says. Get 1 Peter 2 and 9. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God said we're to live separated after God separates us. Now, on the first day, the world got saved. On the second day, the world was separated. You know, and it was separated so the dry ground could appear, so God would have a flesh to reveal his love to a lost and dying world by giving his son at Calvary. Everybody that's here tonight, God saved you, and God has set you apart to be an instrument to proclaim his praises. Amen. I want to tell you, when God chooses to set apart to fulfill his purposes, I want to tell you something, his purpose will be seen. You may not understand why God saved you, but I tell you, as God begins to work on you, after a while you'll wonder why God saved you and put you in a church. And God has a purpose for you to be in this church. You know what I found out in this creation? All of hell could not stop God's purpose in saving. And all of hell could not stop God's purpose and separation. It may take some time to reveal his purpose. God separated the waters, and all of a sudden there's a hills, Mount Calvary. It took 4,000 years for God to reveal his purpose. And you may not know why God saved you, but someday the dry land's going to appear in your life. And someday we'll know why all the heartaches and the troubles and all the trials. And someday we'll know why all the separation and the reproach when we see what God has saved us for. Oh, I'm glad I'm in the will of God, smack dab in the middle, like Brother Sam Allen, in the will of God. I know I'm supposed to be here tonight. I know I am. And you know why? Because God saved me. And when God saved me, God separated me for a purpose. And the purpose was to preach when people would ask me to come. So notice what God did the first day. Salvation. The second day, separation. But God's not through with the earth. And God's not through with you. You'll never rest in God until you're saved, sanctified, and realize that God can supply. Boy, when you know God's going to take care of you and supply your needs, you can lay your head on the pillow at night and say everything's all right with God. Amen? Now, notice what the Bible said here on this third day. The Bible said in verse 11, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind. Now, notice, on this third day, we got grass growing. We got vegetables growing. We got fruit growing on the trees. On the third day, why did God let all that grass and herbs and fruit grow on the trees on the third day? Because he was going to create animals, and he was going to create fish, and they were going to have something to eat. Amen? Can I just say it? I like to say praise God. Before God ever created the monkey, he created a banana tree for him to climb up. Woo-hoo! Praise God. Before God ever created a cow, he had the grass growing in the meadow. Amen, amen, and amen. You say, preacher, why? Because when God saves and God separates, God is going to supply your need. And when you know that God's going to take care of you, you can rest tonight. Amen. So God knew that when these fish and when these birds and when these animals were created, he knew that they'd need something to eat. And I will tell you something. Sometimes I get scared to death because of the school and everything, and say, how are we going to make it this month? I remember when I was in evangelism, I never asked anybody for an offering. I never tell them I had to have 100 or 1,000. I said, but you know what? I was in evangelism 5 years. My wife and my children was on an old Greyhound bus, and every month we get scared to death. I'd go in some church, they wouldn't give me enough to pay for the diesel fuel in the bus. But you know what I found out? After 4 weeks, over the average, God always sending enough to supply our needs. I want to tell you, you may not get it today, but God knows where you are. And God has saved you, and God has sanctified you, and God will supply your needs. God always has the supply ready. The Bible said in 1 John 4:10, he said, herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. You know what God did? God had the Son ready before we ever showed up. I'm glad not only in salvation, but in every need that you ever have, God is going to take care of you. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There's a lot of people worrying about what they're going to do tomorrow. But God said, the birds don't worry and the lily of the field don't worry. Amen. And if God takes care of the lily and if God takes care of the bird, he's going to take care of you. Oh, yes. Oh, happy day when you rest in the fact that God meets our needs in our body and our soul and our spirit and our children and finances and the church. God is sovereign in his supply. Sometimes you say, how in the world is God going to meet my need? But you know what? God had the grass growing. God had the fruit trees growing. Amen. Are you listening to me? Now I'll just give you a little farmer talk here. You got to have sunlight for grass and trees to grow. God had all this growing on the third day, but the sun weren't going to be put in the skies till the fifth day. Amen. It's impossible for plants to bear without sunshine, except what God is working in your life. Just because you can't see it means it's not there. I'm telling you, God's got the supply. It may be in your mailbox when you get home today. Amen. I guess I ought not say this, but I don't have any money. Honest to goodness, I don't. But I've been real frugal, and I've tried to save and, you know, steal hubcaps. And all. I mean, you know, I've tried to put a little money back. And I had this couple come to me about 4 months ago and said, listen, the church is in dire need. And said, I wonder if you could loan our church $11,000. That's about all I had in the bank. Now, don't cut my offering just because I said that, but I mean, and so I let them have it, and I had them write a paper and had it notarized that they'd pay it back without any interest. $11,000 without any interest. You know? Well, when they said they was going to pay it back, they didn't have the money in the church to pay me back. My wife said, what are you going to do? I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I know these folks, and they're honest. And I believe they'll say, I said, let's just give them a look. Do you know what? Do you know what happened over Sunday? A man came to our church and brought me a check for $11,000 and paid that debt. And now, if you want to borrow money, I ain't loaning no more money to any Baptist anymore. I promise you that. Woo! But you know what I found out? If God saved me and God separated me, God's going to supply my needs. And I shouldn't have worried about it. I should have just rested in God. But you know how we are. We worry all the time. Why? I mean, the Bible said be anxious for nothing. I am a worry wart. I mean, I worry about everything. My wife said, it'll be all right. I said, no, it's not all right. I like to worry. But notice, first day of salvation. But listen, it goes more than that. Then there's separation. And then you go a little further there, and God supplies your needs. But I want to tell you, you know how you can rest in God. This is progressive. You see how this is progressive in the creation of the world. But it's not in the creation of the world. It's in the creation of a saved person. The fourth day in verse 14 said, God said, let there be lights. You know what God did? What were those lights for? For signs and seasons, for days and years. Of course, he said in Genesis 8:22, seasons shall not sit. What does that mean? Sun's going to come up every morning. Sun's going to set every night. You can count on that. Amen? You'll never rest in God until you know that He's steadfast. Now, I will say something. You may not be steadfast, but God is steadfast. And when God saved us, you know what we do? We go in covenant. When go in covenant with God, and you know what? That simply means that whether we keep our end of the bargain or not, God's going to keep His end of the bargain. I want to run. Somebody open up. I may run. Well, I can't run. But I feel like shouting and running today. Woo! Amen. I want to tell you something. You'll never rest in God until you know that He's steadfast. You say, preacher, God's steadfast. Oh, yes. He said, I'm the Lord and I change not. He said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You say, preacher, how do I know that God is steadfast? Well, sometimes God's not making His presence known. Sometimes the sun has gone over the horizon and it's dark. And sometimes the moon is reflected light. And when that sun comes up the next morning, you feel that warm light from the sun. But you can go out there at night and, you know, put on your bathing suit. Don't you dare do it. But you can go out there tonight and the moon could be full. And you can lay out there, you will not get moonburnt. It's reflected light. Now, my boy came up to me years ago when I preached this, and he said, Daddy, so that sermon's not right. I said, you dare? What do you mean it's not right? He said, Mama, I got in trouble the other day. Mama pulled down my bridge. She burnt my moon. Amen? So there is moon burning. But I mean, in the natural world, you could feel the sun, but you can't feel the moon. Sometimes we can feel God. Sometimes the honey bucket is turned upside down in our soul. And we can feel the wings of angels. But sometimes it's darkness. Sometimes it seems like God has hidden His face. And we know that He's still there, but we can't feel Him. But by the eyes of faith, I see. Now listen to something. You know, you read in the Bible when the Lord comes, there'll be some of the meal, some in the field, some in the house, you know. And I wonder how, you know, if the Lord's going to come when the sun's shining, well, listen, it don't matter where you are in the world. The sun's always shining somewhere in the world. Amen, amen. The sun is always shining somewhere in the world. I like Lester Olaw. Your preacher reminds me of Lester Olaw. He just start off singing. Lester sing off. He didn't have any kind of rhythm or rhyme. Amen. And his daughter's over here trying to catch up with him. And I love you to death, preacher. I do. I'm not trying to make you mad. Don't get mad at me, all right? But old Lester Olaf, you know what he said? He said, I might not always be able to trace God, but I can always trust God. Amen. You may not be able to trace Him and know what He's doing, but if you're saved by the grace of God, separating God, supplying your needs, you mark it down, God's going to be steadfast. He's going to be the same today as He was yesterday. Amen? It's steadfast. When it seems like there's no revival, God is steadfast. When there's no power, when nothing's happening down the church, God is still steadfast. If you study types, I love types. I found two books I had in my study, Types and Metaphors by Benjamin Keach. It's about that thick. And I had it on there. I don't know how many books in my study at church. And I pulled that out. And you know, I was looking through you know what, the sun? The sun is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The moon is a type of the church. Now, when that moon is, sometimes that moon is shining full. Sometimes it'll be three quarters. Sometimes it'll be half. Sometimes you don't even see the moon. Completely unseen. But, you know, and the moon is a type of the church. Sometimes the church, you don't see it in history. But I don't mean that God's not still in the church. Oh, no. I'm going to tell you something. You ought to study Baptist history. There's been Baptists in every generation that came. And sometimes it's dark. But just because you can't see it don't mean that God's not still shining. Amen? I want to tell you, God keeps His word. When the moon fades on the darkness of the early morning, pretty soon you'll see the sun arise. Now, I like deer. I give away a bunch of deer heads. I had about 15 posts. I kept four of them. I give the rest of them away. But I've been up at that deer stand. I got to confess about that. I've been up at that deer stand in the morning. You know, 25 degrees, cold, about 3 days, wait for the sun to come up. You know what God said? When's the last time you got up this early and prayed for a stand? Well, God will deal with you. You said, is it wrong to deer hunt? No. It's wrong if you let it get between you and God. Amen. But you know what I found out? I found out if you see what all of a sudden you put this reason. You see that morning. That morning star is type of Jesus comes back again. And if that morning star comes, guess what's the next thing? The sun will rise. Amen. I'm glad Jesus is coming back again. And when He comes back again, the church will come alive and shine brighter than she's ever shined. You say, preacher, how can you rest in God? When you know that God is steadfast. I'm going to tell you something. Through these years, I've been married 6 years. I'm glad that God has been steadfast in keeping my family together, saving my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. Even when we're not steadfast, God is steadfast. Just remember that God never changes. God never changes. But then on the fifth day, we see a specialization. You know what God did on the fifth day of creation? He created every fish that's in the sea. He created every fowl that flies in the air. You know, up to this time, there's no movement outwardly. But now on this fifth day, it's time for the earth to come alive. And God created fish and God created birds to occupy His creation. Now you say, preacher, what has that got to do with us? God lets you know what He's going to put in your life to fulfill His purpose. Maybe a little fish, big fish, maybe a big bird, maybe a little bird. You know what? When God put fish in the sea and put birds in the air, He put 9,000 different kinds of birds in the air. He put 30,000 different kinds of fish in the sea. My wife said, but you know what she did? We got a bird feeder in our front yard. And we get sorghum, not sorghum. We get seed and put in it. And I had to get one of those feeders to keep squirrels out of it. I hate squirrels for passion. I killed 10 squirrels this year. I caught 10 squirrels, paired them off, and they come back. They got resurrection. I don't know it. I got more squirrels now than I ever had. But I finally got that. I finally paid $100-something for, you know, bird feeders that they can't get up in. And poor little squirrels in electroparalysis. I wonder how I can get up in there about that tougher. That squirrel said, I never did think that in my time. But my wife loves, I mean, she's, look at that red bird. Look at that red-headed woodpecker out there. Look at all those birds. And we sat on the front porch one morning and counted 11 different kind of birds that's eating there. Now, and you say, preacher, listen, when the squirrels were eating it, but them little birds, they'll eat about maybe 50 pounds every 2 weeks. And we have the privilege of sitting there and watching them. But you know what? All kind of birds. I saw a hawk out there the other day, and I know what the hawk's doing. She's going to get her squirrel. I'm not shooting a hawk. I'm shooting no birds. Amen. But you know, there's things about fish, and there's things about birds. You know what? All fish swim in the same water. Well, does it say something else? All birds, these 30,000 different kind of birds, they all fly in the same air. And every fish and every bird is important to the balance of nature. Sometimes you'll never rest in God until you know that you're fed. Everybody here is fed. I've got somewhere in the motel room, I've got the picture. I've got a teacher. She teaches in a Christian school, and I got about 400 students over there. And she teaches some. I guess they must be 10 or 8 years old. And she wanted me to come over there to the Christian school. I said, why? She said, well, every year we have preachers in. And I said, we feed them and said, we have a circle. And I'll take my class and we'll make a circle around them with them. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I went over there and what a blessing it was. And then one little black girl, they asked her to pray. Lord, she prayed ever. Damn, I'm in that crowd to pray. Amen. But you know what? They make me feel special. Can I say something? You are created a special person. Every little boy, every little girl, every teenager, every mom and dad is special. You may not be a great bird. You may not be a whale. Well, I think so. I mean, you may not be a... I'm just saying, listen, you might not be a great preacher. You might not be an eloquent teacher. You might not be a wonderful singer. You may be a help. Man worked from sun to sun for the woman's work every day. That's the truth. And I'll tell you, if we paid our wives for what they do, we'd all go through. But you listen to me. You may be a housewife. You may be uneducated. You may not care a tune in the bucket, but you're just as saved as the one that can sing. You're just as saved as the one that's educated. Amen? You take that little sparrow out there. That little sparrow can fly as high as the east. You take that little minnow out there, it can dive as deep as that big old tongue. Amen. Listen, Billy Sunday, I've got every book ever written on Billy Sunday. I like Billy Sunday. I've got books on D.L. Moody. But you know what? Billy Sunday and D.L. Moody, they don't have a bit more of the power of God than God than you and I. Every one of us saved have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And Billy Sunday and all those that didn't have a bit more than we have. You know why? Because we're special. And just because I haven't preached 1,000 doesn't mean that I'm not a God's preacher. Or sometimes I know the preachers, I have pity for them. These preachers won't have me now for the old. These preachers won't have me now because I'm too mean. I've preached in churches where they have, we run 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, have 40, 50, 60, 100 people saved. They don't ask me to come back. I was preaching in a church, I'm not going to tell you where, but I was preaching in a church, and it broke out, went 2 weeks, and a preacher baptized 45 people out of the revival meeting. Amen. Boy, you know what, he invited me back anymore. I'm looking up, and I feel hurt. I pull out my big Bible. Nobody wants to hear me preaching. And I was down at Galilee, and I was having a pity party. And I had a little Ford tractor. I had a mower behind it. Here come my boy Andy. My boy, he was mowing that Ford tractor. Went around the house, and I heard something. You know who that was? That was Jeremy, had the Ouija. You know what God said, Ronnie? You may not be a Ford tractor. You just may be a Ouija to clean up after these Baptist preachers, after they messed up everything. Amen! Thank God I may never be a big old tractor, but thank God I can be a little weed eater. Amen! Amen and amen! Amen! Amen and amen! Hello. But anyway, God shaking us. Think some people can talk to people like they never reach. My wife, she's got the best ability that I've ever seen. Listen, I married her when she was in the ninth grade, 14 years of age. Somebody said, you robbed the cradle. I said, yes, you got to sleep. And you know what? And I've trained her, and she's so smart. Somebody asked me the other day, said, something have friends you're going to marry again? I said, no. I said, why? I said, I'm too old to start over. I can't train another one at 79. She don't like that, but anyway, you know what? She's got the ability. Listen, honest to goodness, she can sit down with the poorest man in the world or the richest man in the world, make them feel comfortable. She can sit down with the most uneducated person in the world or the most educated person in the world, and make them feel comfortable. Now, when I get around to education or people's got money, like the preacher over here, I get intimidated. She never gets intimidated. You know why? God has given that gift of a people person to relate to people. And I wish I had it, but I don't. But they knew me. If I'm not a big old Ford tractor like her, at least I can be a little weed eater. Amen. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? You see what God did in creation to bring this world to maturity, God does in the believer. He goes from salvation on first day sanctification, and then God supplies, and then God is steadfast, and then we know that. Then we come down to day six, and he said in verse 26, let us make man in our image. What makes man different from a bird or dog? Now, I had a blue heeler. I thought that dog was pretty small. I mean, it's pretty small. But, you know, I'm better than the dog. I've been called a dog, but I'm better than the dog. You know why? I have a spirit, soul, and body. The dog's got a spirit, and he's got a body, but he sure don't have a soul. He'll bite the hand that feeds him. I don't know if you know anything about blue heelers. They're the smartest dog I've ever seen in my life. But when my dog was little, I'd grab his nose like that, and I'd hold his nose, and I'd get him at it. He'd try to bite me when he was a puppy. Well, guess what? When he got old, he didn't want my hands around his head anymore, and he'd bite me. And I said, you sorry devil, you, I feed you. You better not bite me. You know why he wants to bite me? He don't have a soul. That old dog's dead. He's going to die and go to hell. I know he is. He's going to die and go to hell. And I know cats are going to die and go to hell. I've never met a cat that liked me. And can I just tell the truth? I was preaching down in Calibut, Mississippi for Brother David Shepherd. And Brother David had a big old yellow cat named Willie. I went in there, and when I walked in there, they let me stay in their house and their bedroom because it had a, you know, shower and everything. And I went into that big old yellow cat, went and jumped up on that bad man. I said, preacher, that cat's going to bite me. Oh, that's a sweet cat. That cat won't bite you. I said, that cat's going to bite me. Well, we went all week long. We never did get along. If I come in one door, she'd go out the next door. Well, I was over on Friday night, and I preached on demonism. And we had a lady that we dealt with that was definitely demon-possessed. And she never did get saved. And so it was about 10:30, 11 o'clock. And the preacher said, my goodness, preacher, we're supposed to eat with one of my deacons tonight. And said, it's so late. I said, well, I got to change clothes. I'm soaking wet. He said, go over here and change. And said, meet us out here and we'll go eat with the deacon. I said, all right. I went in that house. I forgot that the cat was there. I forgot that the cat was there. And I went in there and changed clothes, and then, of course, I had to go to the bathroom. I'm old. And I went to the bathroom, and I'm sitting right here, and there's a window right there, right over the commode.
I didn't know if there's rivets. That rivet fit there behind the church. You know what she did? What's what he did? What he did? He jumped out on me! I wet Willie, wet floor, and everything else. You ever heard of a wet Willie? That's what it is. I believe that cat's going to hell, sure. I'm jumping up. Yeah, I just jumped. You look at shit. Cat, look. There's no breakfast. But anyway, I'll touch it.
Willie, and defied me to come in there and found out that the preacher and his wife let the cat sleep with him. I'm not going to let any cat sleep with me. You hear me? I don't care how much I love Francis. Ain't no dog or cat going to sleep with us, all right? Can I hear amen? Some of you men ought to say amen right there, bless God. But anyway, there's that cat, and every time I'd go in that bedroom, she'd try to take the bed up, and he had a show in there. I said, preacher, that cat is going to bite me. Oh, that cat, that's a nice cat. That cat bites you. Well, I went over there to change one night and was getting ready to go somewhere. And so I went, I'll show you how it was. I went back here in the bedroom, changed, and there's a big old console TV sitting right here. Well, I just come through the door, mind my own business, and when I walked through, that cat jumped off that TV on my back. And there's a door right there to the basement. And I kicked her through the goalpost. Amen. And that cat got mad and left town and wouldn't come back till I left town. Amen. Hey, you say, preacher, what are you getting to? I'm saying that on this sixth day was a day of submission. God rest you. Listen, you'll never rest in God until you're submitted. If you're fighting your wife, fighting your husband, fighting your preacher, fighting mom and daddy, I'm telling you, you'll be bothered all the time. I promise you'll be bothered all. But you know what? When Adam and Eve, he said, you go ahead and take care of that garden. And Eve, you help him. And as long as they obeyed God, everything was rest in paradise. But then when they disobeyed God, God come walking in the cool of the day. Adam, where art thou? He knew where Adam was. He wanted Adam to know where he was. And Adam said, we ate of the fruit of that tree and you told us not to eat it. Isn't it amazing that people want to do the one thing, and they got 400 other things they could do, but they want that one thing God said you can't have. And when they ate that, they were not in submission to God. When they did, there's no rest in paradise. And you know what I found out? Just God.
That's great. Word. There's no rest and law for the time
for a person that's worrying and in subordination and not submissive to God. Honest goodness. Now, hey, sleep. I went over there last night. I couldn't sleep. I was on a computer. No, I couldn't sleep. And I got me two Alka-Seltzers and two Benadryls. And I went to sleep, and I dreamed in Technicolor and surround sound. But preacher, I woke up at 4 o'clock, and my brother, my good brother over there, was in the other bed, and he was snoring. I mean, he was snoring. He's going, it sounded like a metallic chainsaw. And do you know what a Jake Drake is on a fact pattern? All right, I want to show you how he's doing. Jerry, I love you, but listen, he said, I got to get me some earplugs tonight or something. I can't. I was resting that he woke me up to that Jake freight. I think it's a freight line. I think that's what it was. Maybe something like that. But I'm going to tell you something. Now, listen, you know, we're laughing, but sometimes you have to laugh because it's so real. It's so cool. But I'm going to tell you something. There may be somebody, I believe somebody walked out here last night lost. You'll never rest in God till you get saved. And you'll never rest in God until you live separated. And you'll never rest in God until you know God has supplied your need. And you'll never rest in God until you know that God is steadfast. And you'll never rest in God until you're submissive to the will and the word and the work of God. Some of y'all having trouble with your family, having trouble with your own self. And you know why you can't rest? One of those points there is not working in the life. You know, I was thinking about that, but you know, my wife's 75, I'm 79. We're not taking any nerve pills. I realize sometimes people have to take nerve pills and all that. But you know what? I'm going to tell you what. Can I tell you how I am tonight? I can sit down in a chair or a couch in 5 minutes, I'm asleep. And my wife will go over and sit down in a recliner, and in 5 minutes, she's asleep. About 1 o'clock, I hear her moving. I close my eyes. It's going. It's 1 o'clock. I'm going to bed. And she'll walk out, and I'll go back to sleep. Well, I know we got guns all the way. That helps. You know, you can rest when you got a gun in every room. But I'm telling you, I can rest tonight because I know I'm saved. I know God separate, God me separate, called me to preach. I know that God supplies my needs. I'm glad that God is steadfast. Amen and amen. And I'm trying my best to be in submission to the will of God. And I'm telling you what's true. I'm telling you, if it's a nurse or doctor, you can check me tonight. You want my blood pressure to show? About 129 over 75. 65 beats a minute. That's pretty good for 79, isn't it? Not taking anything a year. Now, I know people got, I know, man, and I'm not saying that your body will be perfect, but I'm telling you, one reason I got sick, that he has found out. So I hope somehow or another this helps somebody. I'm telling you, the Bible said be anxious. Be careful. Or just trust God. Some of y'all come to the altar with a problem, but you take it back home. Now here's what I'm going to ask you to do tonight. Whatever the situation is, I don't know. I don't want to know. But I want you to come to this altar and say, Lord, I want you to know you can have it. And I'm trusting with you. And I'm going to go home tonight. And I'm going to rest in God. That's the best thing in the world, to know that God is in control. He's a sovereign God. He's in control. While she plays on the piano, preacher, you come and give the invitation or whatever. And thank you for letting me come. I hope this has been a help to you tonight. You're carrying something you ought not to carry. You're to let, you know, the word lean means to, trust means to lean on Him. Why don't you just let Him be your burden bearer? God can take care of the situation. Okay.
Thank you, Seth.